Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manipro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Manipro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Tuesday, January 4th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion and hobby of backyard poultry, show poultry, and sustainable living. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manipro.
Manipro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Manipro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Manipro, nurturing life. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
to Incubator Think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, our second broadcast of 2011. How cool is that? It is now time to welcome my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate, and author, the one, the only, the very lovely, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Oh, shucks, Whisperer, I love it when you talk like that. I'm doing great today. How are you? Kissed the Barney Stone, haven't you?
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, it's I'm doing great. I woke up. I didn't see dirt, so it's a great day. And it just I've just got the last 2 weeks of, to be honest with you, just ignoring everything. But me and my wife and my farm, it's just kind of caught up with me, as things always do. And so it's like I'm shuffling this, shuffling that, you know, robbing Peter, pay Paul, this kind of stuff, and getting things done and arranging this and arranging that and laundry, just, you know, just life. That's all it is. It's just life in 2011, and just like everybody else is going through out there in radio land. So just marking off the lists. To-do list one at a time, not letting it get to me. And you know what?
You can't. When you have a farm, it's never done. You're never, ever done. There's always something more to do.
You know, so. You are so correct. I was talking to my dad, man of wonderful wisdom and very interesting comments often. And I told, I was explaining kind of everything that we were doing at the farmhouse. And then kind of towards the end of my long spiel of what we were doing, I said, and then I think we'll be about done. And my dad goes, son, yeah, exactly. He's like, son, that house is 111 years old. You ain't never going to be done.
Well, even if you had a brand new house, as long as you've got a farm, it seems like it's just never, ever done. Because there's but that's the way life should be. You know, we're never done, like you say, we're underground. So just keep on doing it and having fun.
exactly, and you're right. And having a farm, I've noticed, even though Jen may disagree a little bit, depending on what day it is and what I'm doing, I think it's helping a little bit with my OCD as far as having everything just kind of perfect and placed certain, you know, and tracking in mud and, you know, things like that that I've noticed. Not totally. The other day when we were down there, she was like, "Well, why do you have your why is your OCD kicking in today?" And she noticed I was, you know, getting things in order inside the house. But I've noticed that it is helping a little bit. So who knows? We'll see how that continues, the OCD gland of the chicken whisperer. But I want to let you know that due to the fact that we have so much going on, after today, about 4 p.m., and I hate to say this on the air, but after today, about 4 p.m., for the next probably February, March, April, May, June, maybe the next 5 months, ready for this? I, the Chicken Whisperer, will be chickenless. Chickenless. Me, if that's a word, let's get up the dictionary real quick. Chickenless. And but Jen and I, we were talking when we were down at the farm, and we've got a lot of travel coming up, and then just lots of busy things. Some of you don't know this. It's kind of leaked out as things do, and so this is not really an official announcement, but since we are kind of planning a move in the future along with little CW Junior on the way, we've got some stuff to do from you know, packing this, getting this situated, fixing things at the farmhouse, getting things done here, the whole nine yards. Again, just life. It's nothing unique about my life, but just life in general. But now it's escalated a little bit. We're trying to eliminate this, that, and the other as far as what takes time and responsibility. And we by far didn't want to neglect our chickens at all. We want to make them sure they're happy. But I've got a gentleman coming today to provide a new home for our chickens.
Wow.
In our backyard. And so they,
for
in fact,
all
actually,
your chickens.
All
did
of them,
they,
yes,
come
except
with name
for three.
Tags? You've got to put name tags on them so they'll know who's
I don't
who.
Think they'll have name tags, no. But three of them actually Saturday I'm delivering to y'all may remember CNN anchor Darren Kagan, and I've been out to her house before. She did a special video of me arriving and helping her with her hens that weren't laying. Not 5-10 days later after I left and gave her tips, lo and behold, they started laying. Talk about a coincidence. But she had a predator attack, and then so I'm making her three on Saturday, and then I have a gentleman coming today. And the cool thing is it's a homeschool family, and which is great. And they also do things active in the community, so I know that they will actually be loved. So somebody's starting to ask if Broody Mama is going to, and if Broody Mama can come live with her. Let me tell you, Broody Mama. Yeah, everybody's like, "Oh, Broody Mama, I'll put her in my wonderful coop with velvet-lined walls and a beautiful 40,000 BTU heater, and I'll feed her wonderful sunflower seeds and filet mignon every day, and she just won't know what to do." Yeah, I'll have to make sure when the gentleman gets here, I'll have to tell her the story about Broody Mama, and that she's very predator savvy and very she's a survivalist, if you will. So I'll give the story on Broody Mama. Out of all the ones I'd like to just keep on, it probably would be Broody Mama. We've kind of connected and have our own little love-hate relationship. But
I know she doesn't care if the electricity goes out or not. She's just totally on her own.
Yeah, she could care
from yesterday's show.
I looked out the window the other day, and Broody Mama was chopping wood and starting a little campfire.
Oh, dear.
She had
mealworms on the stove.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I looked out one day, and she had a little Bowie knife, and she was going after some feed. So Broody Mama, she is the survivalist of them all, and just kind of carefree and hanging out. But Yeah, the Chicken Whisperer will be without chickens for about 5 months, but we're gearing up to be even bigger and better than we ever have in the past. We're going to have, again, practicing what we preach. And y'all know me long enough, the regular listeners know that I do. They all keep me in check. I'm serious. I'll be riding down the road, and I'll be thinking, man, I'm hungry. I didn't have lunch. What's this up ahead, Burger King, McDonald's? You know, it'd be so easy to swing in there, but nope, I can't. Because if I did, I'd feel so compelled to tell everybody that Andy had fast food that I just keep driving by and being hungry until I can find something a little bit better, because I know I would get, you know, so I do, me and Jen and I both try to practice what we preach and practice what we talk about in the shows we have on this radio show. So this coming summer, we're looking at, you know, we're 25 new layers that we're going to pick out. More than likely, they're going to be ISA Browns because they are just, mm-hmm. out of all the chickens we've ever had, the biggest eggs, the most consistent layers, absolutely awesome. Again, for our homestead, you know, again, practicing what we preach. So we're looking at, just wait till I get to the Sonic and there's a little sign, hey, fresh hot tater tots. Yeah, then I'm pulling in, I think. For my monthly, I probably hadn't had Sonic over a month now. So, but 25 probably ISA Brown layers. We're going to have 25 broilers. We're going to have, I'm not sure how many turkeys yet. We're getting two more goats. The goats are staying. We'll have two more. We'll have four goats for milk. And I'm even shopping around for maybe a Jersey cow. I don't know if I'll be successful with that or not with Jen.
Oh,
I'm even talking about pigs. She draws the line with pigs. She's saying the goats will give us plenty of milk. We've got the chickens for the eggs. We've got chickens, broilers. We're going to be doing just fine, plus all the raspberries and the blueberries and the produce and the fruit trees and everything. It's basically after Jen on the plane, we were coming back from Ohio National. Because I bought the hen have more plan is your work, but she was reading the have more plan.
The Robinson have more plan, yeah.
Yes, and like I said, it's a good read, and so she's kind of taken that to heart, and on about 3 acres of land, just designing it, doing the most that we can with it from, you know, everything. So, and as you can see, the pictures on there of what we've been doing as far as the cover crop of the winter rye and the fruit trees and the blueberries. I mean, the last 2 days we've done nothing but research different varieties of raspberries and blueberries and things like that and other berries.
Ooh, isn't
and trees.
That fun?
So, yeah, it's very, very, very interesting, very educational. So, and then so all the guests that we have on, obviously, trying to take what they share with us and learn from that, and then practice what we preach. And we'll try to document that via video and get it up on YouTube. It's busy and it takes so time consuming to do something like that. We thought about we should have done it this past weekend when we were actually putting up our lattice for our raspberries and planting those and the fruit trees, but we may actually put up some more, so we may try to video that and then get that on our YouTube channel. So, but other than that, just hanging out. We've got a great show, Pat, today. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Back due to popular demand. I put on our Facebook page that about 75% of our fans and listeners are women. And so we do try to cater to the young ladies out there that listen to the show on a regular basis and on to the archive. And so not that, you know, we have, again, we love the guys that listen in, and we appreciate them too, but by far 75% or more, but right in that area always, when we look at the numbers, listeners, fans, followers, and friends, we do try to look at programming and provide great programming specifically, try to cater to them, since they're our major listener base, and of course our advertisers appreciate that too. And Steve Pope, the Heritage Chef, is no exception. Even though, hey, I'm the one that cooks and prepares the meals in our house. Many other men across the country do the same, whether it be barbecue or right there in the kitchen. But today we are going to welcome back in popular demand, a regular show, first Tuesday of every month, the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope. Today's topic, we're welcome the 2010 contest winner. She's going to tell us all about her recipe that she won with a contest that the Heritage Chef had. We're going to be talking about the diversity of cooking with chickens and eggs, the diversity of chicken cooking with chickens and eggs, very, very different. And then New Year's diet, don't chicken out. So I'm anxious to hear the three topics that we have today. Yeah, it's going to be a very great show. Hopefully you have pen and paper together. I do have a confession. I'm going to have to tell Steve that I did not have time nor did it even enter my mind over the busy holiday to prepare the last recipe he shared. But I do have that on my to-do list right here on my desk to try to get that done because it sounded so delicious. I want to try it. But I'm going to have to go to Whole Foods. I'm going to have to get a Heritage Breed, you know, free-range organic chicken to do it, to really make sure it is done right. So let's see what's going on in the chat room. It's slowly but surely filling up a little bit lighter today. Let's see what we got here. Chicken. Head Labrador says, good as far as the 75% women says, I could use a date, Whisperer. So, maybe, you know, maybe this radio show in the chat room being 75% young ladies, maybe, who knows, we'll have some good Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, you know, kind of guys with flannel shirts and overalls and work boots that aren't afraid to swing an axe. Just may come in and find the love of their life. You just never know.
You just never know. Yeah, it's quite possible. I know I've certainly made so many friends through poultry and chickens and, of course, the show. So, connections abound. So maybe I ought to start a poultry singles dating club. Date the chick of your dreams, you know? or the rooster
cockles.
Of your... Yeah, or the cockerels. Oh, dear.
A pullet or a cockerel. And then, but you know what? The problem with that is then you'll have, you know, the typical dating scene, the typical things are going to be asked. You'll have the pullets coming up, the cockerels going, so do you have a big coop? What do you do for a living? Does your job provide you with a big coop, you know, with a corner lot, you know?
How's your crow? I don't want a guy with a wimpy crow.
Yeah,
exactly. And your waddles, are your waddles all right? We're not going to go there again.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Exactly. But, yeah, it's you know, I can just hear it now. You know, well, yes, I happen to have a top-of-the-line Horizon Structures coop that I live in, Miss Pullet.
There's a comment from Bard Rock. What's a nice hen like you doing in a Pice chat room like this?
Leave it up to our listeners there to come up with some funny comments. Exactly. What's a nice hen like you doing in a chat room like this? Yep, that is nice. But yep, I can hear
classic.
It now. Oh my goodness. Oh, jeez. Only on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer do we have this kind of fun, laid back and relaxed. Let me get over here to the switchboard. Let's see if maybe not quite. We normally call in about 12:24. Let me get over to our Facebook page and see if we've got some chickens in the news. It was actually slow the last last day or two. So let me switch over here and see what's going on. I think I may have posted one. Yeah, here we got one. Anybody live out there near Nevada City? Nevada City, as soon as this comes up, this comes to us from theunion.com. Very short news article. Nevada City planners will meet this week to discuss an ordinance to allow backyard chickens and an ordinance changing city rules regarding bed and breakfast inns. How about that? The meeting is set for 6:30 p.m. Thursday at City Hall at 317 Broad Street, downtown Nevada City. And so all the chicken folks out there in that area that listen to the radio show, you can head that way. So Nevada City may allow backyard chickens. They're going to be talking about that at the upcoming meeting. Let's see if there are any others here.
Well, what's different about this one, though, Whisper, I really love this, is because now we're talking about bed and breakfasts. I mean, what a great advertising and niche to have chickens and fresh eggs, I mean, late that morning, if you like, at a bed and breakfast. I would certainly go to stay there, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, we me and Jen go to a bed and breakfast occasionally that pet friendly, so we can take Penny and Marianne, and they don't have chickens, but they are pet friendly. And but yeah, imagine I know actually a lot. We also stayed at another bed and breakfast that actually is on a working farm, and which they do advertise. You know, hey, breakfast served from fresh goods from our working farm. So I know a lot of the kids go there and like to stay because they'll let them be farmhand for a day when they go and stay and get a taste of what it's like living on the farm. And it's actually a Mennonite farm. And so it's very cool place that we've stayed before as well. So, And you've got a, it looks like here you've got a Chickens in the News for us, Pat.
Well, I do, and I'm just so impressed that Bed and Breakfast are, yeah, I love your article, the Bed and Breakfast. And you realize what they could do is they could even give little mini courses on composting with chickens and how to care for chickens. I mean, they could even sell chicken peeps maybe as part of their line. It just opens up a whole array of interesting possibilities. But yeah, I like that article. Anyway, the one I have comes from Salisbury Post. This is from North Carolina, and this is from, it says, mobile processing helps poultry growers. And what's different about this one is that it's done by a family. Here it's by Carissa Minn, M-I-N-N, and it says, one farm is boosting its own operations and helping others by operating and renting a mobile slaughtering business. Lee and Dormisty, Minius, M-E-N-I-U-S, they're the owners of the Wild Turkey Farms in China Grove, North Carolina. Both say they like helping farmers who want to process small number of birds, but that's, they may not be able to buy their own equipment. And this has always been from the get-go for the last 20 years, Whisper. Processing has been the bottleneck. People love to raise chickens, but when it comes to buying the equipment or having it available or even having a state-inspected processing site close by where the chickens don't get stressed, you know, being driven for hours and hours. It's always been the bottleneck. So this is one of the first ones that I've heard of a small-scale family doing it. It says the farm was given a private grant last year through the Animal Welfare Approved Organization to build a mobile processing unit. They're called MPUs in the industry. The couple had previously purchased a lot of the equipment they needed, so what they did is they used that money to convert just a 16-foot trailer into a compact assembly line that's on wheels, and it's been operating since last spring. The equipment that they bought, they said, cost about $5,000, and then this trailer cost probably another couple grand. He says, without the equipment, this is what really gets to be a problem. Without the equipment, it takes about two people an hour to process six chickens. And now, he says, three or four workers can butcher more than 30 birds in about an hour. And so that really makes it possible to get stuff done. He says, I'm just glad we can help other small farmers. We know what it's like to pluck a chicken by hand, and we're a small family farm, and there's lots of other small family farmers out there. What they do is they rent the MPU out for between $45 and $100 a day. $45 to $100 a day. Boy, that more than pays for itself in the savings from manpower. It depends on how far it has to travel. They says it's a really nice additional income stream, and they've been able to recoup quite a bit of their capital investment made on the equipment for over the last couple of years. They've got it all. They've got the plucker, the scalder, the killing cones, the whole thing that you need for processing your chickens. He says he's hoping that this will set a trend, and soon there will be at least one mobile processing unit for every three or four counties. Because the only county, the only slaughterhouse in the state is a long, long way away. So let's see. They say they stayed out an average of at least a couple of days a week through mid-October, and now people are starting to grow their own birds because they can do their own processing, which is a big, huge advantage to local food supply. So that's pretty much, I don't want to read the whole thing, but that's pretty much it. And it says it gives farmers like our local farmers to be able to do our chickens on site. It's more humane for the chickens. It allows the community to buy a better product that's locally produced. And the only problem is that one of these processors is doing is there's a line of people wanting to use it, so they've got to sign up. It's getting so popular. More information about the mobile processing unit, the slaughterhouse, call Lee, and the number is 704-202-9348. 704-202-9398. That's Wild Turkey Farms. So that is a trend that ought to be sweeping across the U.S. for our small farmers and local food supply advocates. So what do you think about that, Whisper?
That's awesome. I've always been an advocate of needing more mobile chicken processing plants. I was reading today that there's a not quite the same, but there is a they're calling it the meat truck that's been launched by a local farm here just outside of Atlanta, and it's starting the first week in 2011. In fact, I called them up, and they're going to be probably about 6 miles down the road from me on Monday at a church, and they've gotten drop-off locations, but just locations around Metro Atlanta each day. Where the truck's going to be, where you can get grass-fed beef and organic chicken, free-range chickens. And so not processing, mobile processing, but just it's a farm that actually bought an old, it was an old Mack Tool kind of van truck, and they've converted it, and they're going to be driving all over the Atlanta area and selling their grass-fed beef so we can just obviously for them, but so more people can have that choice. So just this morning I was reading something about that. Let me share this one with all of our listeners as well. Then we'll go to break and bring on the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope. I found this is very interesting. This came to us from Slate. And dinner at the Quickie Mart, food deserts in America. This was fascinating to me. Dinner at the Quickie Mart, Food Deserts in America by Chris Wilson. A 2009 study by the Department of Agriculture found that 2.3 million households do not have access to a car and live more than a mile from a supermarket. Much of the public health debate over rising obesity rates has turned to these food deserts, where convenience store fare is more accessible and more expensive than healthier options further away. This map colors each county in America by the percentage of households in food deserts, according to the USDA's definition. Data is not available for Alaska and Hawaii. And so you can go to this, and I'll probably post this on my Chicken Whisper page a little later after the show. I did post it on my personal page. But you can, with your mouse, it's got every single county in America on this map outlined, and it has the percentage of people in that county that live further away than a mile from, that have no car. Now, I think, to be honest with you, and I guess this study was done by USDA and CDC, I guess it says, Department of Agriculture for Disease Control, and I would have to say the number's probably higher than this of people who have no car further than a mile from a supermarket. I clicked on the county where our farmhouse is, which is a very, very rural, and it's one of the, if you want to call it, the worst counties in the United States, let alone in Georgia, as far as the number of people who have no vehicle and live further than 1 mile away from the grocery store. Well, let me tell you, in this small little rural county, there are only two grocery stores. There's a Piggly Wiggly and a Harvey's, and that's it. And I know from our farmhouse to the Piggly Wiggly, it's 8 miles. And both the Piggly Wiggly and the Harvey's are probably about 5 miles from each other, basically in kind of the same town, if you will. And so anywhere else in the county, if you don't live within those two, then you're easily over a mile away. Now, the fact is here with this study is have no car. If you have no car, but you can walk down the street to the Quickie Mart and get that Twinkie, get that Slim Jim, get that Snowball, get that Moon Pie, whatever the case may be, and a soda. And when you're hungry, you're going to do that versus walking to the grocery store, maybe getting a piece of fruit or what have you. So this was very interesting. And actually, the county, it's one of the says. Let me click on it here. It's actually the worst or greater than 10%, and then they click on the county and it does show you 10.73% of the population in that county where our farmhouse has no car and lives more than a mile away. Now, the population of that county is probably, 4,000 people, so I have no clue, but it's probably around that. But it's interesting. You can click on the county wherever you live, and you can see what percentage of people in your county have no car and live over a mile away from the supermarket. And it's very, very interesting. I thought that was fascinating, and that they're correlating that study with obesity and the fact that you're more apt to get a Moon Pie and an RC Cola if you live less than a mile away from a convenience store versus a grocery store. So somebody was thinking, I guess, when they did that study. So now we'll try to post that on our Chicken Wire page a little bit after the show so you can check out your county and see where it stands regarding that study. All righty, we're going to take a quick break. It's a little after half past the hour. Go to a commercial break, and we come back. We're going to welcome the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope, and we've got lots of great subjects we'll be talking about today. So don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be back right after this short break.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at EggCartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's EggCartons.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Clap off! Clap on, clap off!
The Clapper!
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Sorry about that if the last two or three commercials or sound effects weren't quite in rhythm. I just completely lost disconnected. I heard this bleep. And then I was off air, but I just kind of winged it since this is a chicken show. I just happened to wing it and pressed a few buttons to continue the commercials, just kind of figuring about when they ended. So if one got cut off short or one started a little too soon, well, then that's because I couldn't hear doggone thing. So that's just the way it goes.
Love that. Our excuse now is it's a chicken show, so... So anything goes. I mean, we're just here flapping around having a great time. That's what it boils down to.
Exactly. I just had a wonderful comment that I get on occasion. Hello, Andy. Just want to say that what a great show you have. I rarely get a chance to listen live, but I listen to all the recorded episodes anyways. Great show. Well, thank you very much. CRSH0330 in the live in the chat rooms. Thank you very much for taking time out of your day to join us, and thank you very much for those nice comments. So here we go. Let's go to the phone lines right now, and we're going to bring on the one, the only, the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope. Welcome back to the show, Steve.
Hi, and thank you for having me back. Gosh, the one and only. Well, I think that sets me up for a lot there. How's everybody doing?
Well, you're the only one we know of, Steve. So you're it. We're both doing great.
Did everybody have a nice holiday?
Yeah.
I did.
Good. Well, I kept busy, and I want you to know what I had for my Christmas dinner was probably one of the things that sparked what I wanted to talk about today. I had for my Christmas dinner chicken chili. Now, if that isn't being innovative, that's right there on the list, and it really was very, very good. I broke away from the traditional and, you know, the ham or the turkey, et cetera. And I had chicken chili, and by golly, on a cold winter day, that stuff is great.
That sounds awesome.
Good.
That sounds awesome right now for lunch, actually.
Listen, today I've got with me is Ann Knowles. Now, Ann is the Good Shepherd cook-off winner for 2010. And just kind of wanted to talk with her a little bit. And if you have any questions, please feel free to jump in, and we'll go from there. But first of all, let me introduce you to Ann. Ann, I'm glad you've come on the show.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I'm looking forward to
it. Oh, yeah!
Hooray!
Whisper's out of control today, Ann. It's all right. His timing's off.
Oh, good.
But we were pretty excited about what happened with the whole process of winning this contest. We had this happened last April. And we had about 800 entries in the entire contest. And, gee, did they have a lot of choices to get the right recipe. And the people that selected for that recipe, or the judges, I should say, was just pretty phenomenal. We had, of course, we had Molly O'Neill, who is an author. She used to be with the New York Times. We also had a wonderful restaurant owner that was just great at promoting and helping us work with the project, and that was Jasper's in Kansas City, a little plug there. And then from there, we also had, Nathan Goals, I think it was, from the L.A. Times was there. And
P. Allen Smith.
P. Allen Smith at P. Allen Smith Garden. So we had pretty much a stellar group of judges to go through all these. We pared down the recipes to just four entries, and I'm glad I wasn't on the judging crew for that because there was a lot of good recipes. Ann, what was your recipe?
My recipe was Southwest baked chicken. And that recipe incorporated the wonderful sense of hot, sweet citrus flavors in a baked chicken. So it included brown sugar and garlic and New Mexico chili, which I'm a big fan of, and lemons and olive oil, a little tequila, orange juice, and salt and pepper to taste. And it is really good. Wonderful Mexican food has that little bit of citrus sweet that balances the hot, and a chicken baked in that manner really presents well and tastes wonderful.
I've got to ask you, naturally I'm pro-heritage, and I know now you are because you had to practice a lot before you presented that particular recipe. What is it about the heritage bird that makes it different?
Well, the heritage bird has that richness and distinctiveness in flavor, and I cannot identify the difference. I just know that it's there. It has a fuller, more textural taste to it. And it does indeed taste just like the ones that grandmother and mother used to raise in rural Kansas where I grew up.
Well, you know, what's interesting is with backyard poultry, the people that are now doing this, especially the small homes and people that are getting back into that, they're rediscovering exactly what you say about cooking.
And I think it absorbs flavors in a more distinctive manner.
Yeah.
If you take a mass-produced chicken and you season it the same way and bake it the same way, it will not have that layering of flavor from whatever it is you've added to make the taste that you want.
Well, I know that you went through a lot working with this recipe. Now, why do you favor Southwest chicken and the recipes of the Southwest. I need to really reiterate here, and I think that Whisperer and Pat will both agree, that heritage doesn't always mean just Midwest Kansas or Southern Florida. Heritage is universal in its background. So how did you get to this particular heritage
stuff? I'm a Kansas person, born and educated in Kansas, but I lived in Tucson for 22 years. And worked with people from that wonderful, rich heritage of Hispanics that are in the Tucson area. And one of my very favorite food elements, therefore, is Southwestern. So it was fun for me to take that tenure that I had in that part of the country when I moved back to this part of the country to bring a little bit of that home with me and to apply it to the wonderful heritage chickens that were raised in when I grew up, along with the heritage roses and the heritage tomatoes and the whole upbringing that I had in rural Kansas, where you grew things from seeds, you shared those seeds with your friends, you grew chickens, you shared layer hens with one another, you compared eggs. It's just part of my childhood.
Well, that's really good. Andy, if you have anything to say about this in the backyard, especially, and Pat also, I know that your books that are out are just filled with the nostalgia and knowledge that we're talking about today, and I think there's a surgence of this. There seems to be a strong surgence in that. Anybody want to comment there?
Well, I wanted to remind all of our listeners real quick that you can go and see the recipe, and you can see a picture of the lovely Ann Knowles right here next to her recipe heritagechef.com. So just go to www.heritagechef.com, and then if you click on, let me go back to the homepage, because contest recipes, and obviously being the winner is right there, the first grand prize winning recipe, Baked Chicken a la Tucson by Ann Knowles, and talks here about using either Heritage New Hampshire or Barred Rock chicken, 3 to 4 pounds, and it gives you the entire recipe right there, which you can try tonight for your family. So I wanted to, and there's lots of other great recipes and information there at that website, heritagechef.com. So I wanted to first remind everybody you can go and see the recipe right now while we're talking about that. And then we have noticed that in the past, Steve, that people who never really thought when they first got into keeping backyard poultry that they would be interested and they were interested in pets and eggs and compost and fertilizer and insect control, and at first never really thought about having a few chickens to harvest themselves and cook and bake. But we've seen a tremendous increase, even with our Atlanta poultry group here, again, 1,300 members. Many at first were like, oh, I would never do that. These are my pets. But then we offered a how to process a chicken class, and it was packed. We've had almost 100 people there. Many said, well, just in case I need to do it one day, or I just want to be educated on how to do it if I choose to. And then we had some that, like, you know, I never dreamed I'd be doing this, but they were right up there, you know, plucking the chicken and getting hands-on, because they now that, you know, they appreciated the birds more, and they too wanted to know where their food was coming from and had a better relationship with their food. So it's even though right now there's listeners out there that think, oh, I have Princess and Petunia and Precious in the backyard and they're naming them my pets and I would never dream of eating them. I completely I'm right there with you, and my wife is too. But yet we've already deemed that when we get down to the farm, we're going to start, you know, about every 3 months doing 25 broilers or heritage breed chickens for consumption. It's just over the years we've come to want to do that and learn from it and jump right in. So even though now there's some listeners out there that would never dream of doing it, that's fine. There's many that had thought just that same way that are now actually having a few meat birds in their backyard. They're just not naming them. Or if they are naming them, they'll name them teriyaki. They'll name them fry. They'll name them Baked. They'll name them Nuggets or whatever. So they have special names for their chickens that they're going to consume versus, say, their pet chickens. So, yeah, I've seen over the years a tremendous increase in people that are willing and are now interested in doing this. So y'all are right on the ball with that. Pat?
Well, one thing that's kind of interesting, and I have a confession to make on this one, I raised a Silkie. And I used to, I had Silkies for years. I now have Orpingtons, but I used to, and I've always had Orpingtons. I had one Silkie that I named appropriately Miss Penny, and I had her for, get this, almost 9 years. And she was quite a little bird. So I named her, and she would never go into the pot, that's for sure. But it, just like you were saying, I used to have Jersey cattle. And the steers I would name Hamburger and Beef Bourguignon. And, I kept my thoughts clear. So that doesn't mean that you can't have both. It's just that you make sure that you clarify for that. Well, Ann, I really appreciate you coming on,
Thank you. Giving me
your input on this. We're going to move on to some other information. And Whisperer, if you'll tell me when my time is up, let me know. Or Pat also, if you need to jump in, let me know. Because as you know, I can talk.
No problem, Steve.
Yeah. So I heard that I got an email from you, Pat, saying that you had tried the seasoning that I'm working on. What did you think of that?
Oh, I love it. I've even had it on hard-boiled eggs when I was traveling, and it was really good instead of the salt and pepper I usually have. But Steve has created an amazing, what would you call it? It's not quite an herbs provence because it's a little more powdery form, but, boy, it sure smells good when it's baking on something in the oven.
Well, I wanted something, and I've been working for some time on something that would be universal, and I understand you used it also on ham, but I designed it primarily for the poultry, and I'm working on that coming out later on this year as far as availability. But I give it out at each of my cooking instruction classes just for people to try so I can get good feedback. And, you know, seasoning is a really important thing when you're looking at working with poultry and cooking them. The problem is to find that appropriate amount of seasoning so that you don't lose the flavor of the chicken. And like Ann was talking about, her different layers of flavor that she's putting in with the citrus and the honey and or the brown sugar and a little bit of tequila, each one of those are an enhancer. And one of the things in my discussion with her is that she had to really be careful on how she used those particular spices so that she just didn't load it down with some immense flavor that was not enhancing the poultry. So it's kind of interesting to see how that does work, and how sometimes if you go overboard, you know that you've done too much. And those are the ones that the cats and the dogs like, because you know you're not going to present them at the table. So it's really important to look at that. I'd like to talk about the diversity of cooking with chicken and eggs. And one of the things that I like to say is that there is nothing more portable than a chicken. And if you look historically, it was the mainstay throughout the early years of the pioneer. All you had to have is two hens and a rooster, and you were guaranteed a lot of food in the future. And because of that, the bird was portable, it was movable, easy to take care of, and the cost of food was minimal because chickens do exactly what they're supposed to do when they're able to. They're out in that backyard pecking around, removing all those bugs and getting the nutriment that they need. But I like the idea of cooking with a chicken primarily. I mean, I cook with beef and I also do pork and some rabbit. And one of the things that I like about chicken is it's a lot like other things that take on flavors. You can cook with so many different recipes and create so many different dishes with chicken that is not necessarily available for other protein such as pork or even beef. I look at this chicken chili that I had for Christmas. It's a white chili. It's not a red chili. I use some beans with it. I use the flavoring, a little bit of garlic, salt and pepper, things of this nature. And all of a sudden, I have a very, very good dish that is made out of chicken. I like the idea of being able to use that and the eggs. And, of course, my goodness, what would we do if we did not have eggs?
It's like,
what would we do in our society alone? Cooking, baking, breakfast, all of those things that we rely upon as part of our good natural protein and what's healthy. I do want to mention something about the eggs of today and the eggs of yesteryear. And that's a real big thing with me. You know, my great-grandfather, and I did know him, He was an unbelievable old man. His last name was Longhofer. Can't get any more German than that. And he used to have two eggs every morning for breakfast. And he and my grandfather, two eggs every morning for breakfast, and never had the cholesterol problems. Never had the problems of the concern of the cholesterol or the high fat, things of this nature, that the eggs of today have. And I think that there's reasons for that. And I think the diet of the bird has a lot to do with it. The genetics that have been altered or genetically engineered can create a bird that has high cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting to see what nature has provided for us in just the egg alone that can be quite healthy. And I don't know about you guys, but there is such a vast difference in the color of the yolk. When you're looking at the yolk, you know, when you go into a restaurant and they serve you fried eggs or poached eggs or whatever, what color do you usually see those eggs, Pat? What color?
Oh, they're bright, deep yellow. They're just wonderful. The yolks.
Yes, and that's part of the whole picture, is to know that you've got an egg that is full of good protein, good healthy natural flavoring that comes in because the egg has been created as it is supposed to be created. And I love working with eggs. I mean, you know, there's so much of that egg salad and you know, things of that nature that we use as a traditional. But the body of eggs and what they can do to thicken, to create wonderful sauces, all of these things. So I'm a high proponent of using that type of thing when it comes to eggs. And it is portable. That's the nice thing about it. The eggs, the chickens, all of this is quite portable. I think, Whisper, have you ever had people say to you how nice it is to walk out in their backyard and go over to the little chicken pen and get a couple of fresh eggs?
Oh, absolutely. It's rewarding. And a lot of folks have their children do it. And I've said this on the show before, that the kids, no official study here other than talking with parents, and you know, they know best, that they've seen the kids that have kept responsibility longer and more steadily with backyard chickens than they have any other pet they've ever owned, due to the fact that, yes, they have to feed and water them and care for them, but every single day they get that reward of going outside. It's exciting. They get to gather those fresh eggs, but it doesn't end there. Now they get to use those eggs that they worked
Excellent.
Hard for, that they gathered, and now they get to use them for even another project, either, you know, baking or for breakfast. Or so it's really the responsibility they've seen stays with the children much longer than, say, a dog or a cat. And then it brings the family together because now they get to use the eggs to cook with or bake with.
Well, don't forget that those crushed eggshells can go out in the rose bed too. And they can go back into the compost that automatically goes back to the earth and reproduces over and over again in that cycle. So it's just a very rewarding thing. And for me, naturally, because of working as a chef, to know where those eggs came from. And when I'm doing one of my signature dishes, that when I do a presentation, that I am giving to that consumer or that person the best of the best, knowing that I'm doing the right thing. And as a chef, and we see this more and more today because of the interest that is being raised by farm-to-table kind of growth, that people are now becoming more understanding about how important it is to have the best of the best. Even if it costs a little bit more, in the long run, it may save you a trip to the emergency room because of high cholesterol, heart attack, or something. So who knows what benefits we haven't even discovered when it comes to the medical side of natural eggs. I don't know about you, but I need to lose some weight. And why is it in January? You see the television, you see all the ads, everything's coming out to lose this weight, to diet. Now, I'm for the first to say that I fall into that pit pretty bad, and it's hard to keep a resolution of a diet if you're not interested in what you eat and enjoy what you eat. Well, I'm on a crusade on chickens out for dieting, and this is my crusade for this dieting programs that come out. You know, the diversity of a chicken in its cooking and what you can use it for and its low fat content. And this is important for people to understand also. It's not just that white meat. It's also the dark meat. Does not have the fat. It's leaner. It's much more tastier to me. But there are so many things out there that you can do with chicken when you're looking at dieting and losing some of that weight by just being aware of the fat content that is not there in the heritage or the chickens that you raise yourself. I think that's a real important thing to look at as far as, you know, if you have something that has flavor, and the heritage bird does, you're not going to need as much of it to try to feel that you're getting something substantial. And soups are one of the best ways to look at with dieting. And if you use chicken and it has a lot of the innate flavors that should be there, you're getting more of a full body taste to the food rather than just a bland recipe of broth or something that you feel like you have to put MSG or something in it to enhance the flavor. So it's really kind of nice, and I'm working. I've started my diet. We'll see how loyal I am to that. But I am making sure that I integrate a lot of chicken because there's baked chicken, there's broiled chicken, there's all the sautéed and the flavorings that can go with that. So I'm kind of excited about working with the diet program. I really am.
Excellent. Well, you're right about, Steve, about the nutrition is totally different between commercially raised, I think both the meat and the eggs, compared to the backyard free range out in the sunlight and having a lot of good time chasing bugs meat that you get. So, yeah, well, good luck with your like all of us, our New Year's resolutions to lose a few pounds. It seems like it's always a little harder when the weather's bad and you can't get out quite as much. But are you following a certain regime, or what's your plan?
I am, and it's good basic nutrition. I work with the college here, and we have a lot of information available to us on good nutrition, and we have one of the professors here or instructors that does a very good job with nutrition. So I have counseled with her in some of the things, and I'm looking at and making sure that I get enough fiber and enough of the green vegetables. Part of it is simply just pure logic. You know, if I don't know if this happens to any of the listeners out there, but you know, we live an on-the-go life, and that means that the moment we get out of bed, we're programmed to get a gazillion things done in one day. And that's not even counting on the roadblocks that come throughout that day. So we without even realizing it, we have a tendency to start finding something that makes us feel good. And you know that snack machine down at the end of the hall? It's full of feel good, but it's temporary. So one of the things I'm doing is I am literally telling myself, not for me. And it's sort of a mantra of simply saying, it's not for me. And I think that's real important to consider when it comes to doing something of that nature, is to make sure that you have those kind of mantras in your mind that says, okay, I'm not going to do this, and then become aware of yourself and ask yourself one simple thing. Am I truly hungry? Is this a reaction, or am I honestly hungry? We also deal with the office issue of people bringing in stuff, their best goodies, and you want to sample it. And they want you to sample it. So you're going through the guilt trip. And, you know, it takes a little bit of courage to simply say, you know, that looks so delicious. I'm sure you've done a great job, but it's not for me right now. And if they understand that you're trying to do something, that helps you. So it's not just the food. It's making sure that your environment is constructive for you to lose weight. That and to look forward to eating. And that's one thing that I think a lot of people have lost. We simply put food in our bodies and run and let it try to digest. And instead of looking forward to actually eating, I am going to eat tonight at 5 o'clock, and I'm going to have a small slice of roasted chicken that I did yesterday. I'm going to have, along with that, some green leafy vegetables, and I'm looking forward to that. So that's part of the psychology of that. We'll see what happens. We'll just see what happens.
Yeah, you know, your point, Steve, about not eating when you're not hungry, or don't eat when you're not hungry, is so important, because I know I work quite a bit out of my home, and sometimes I'll just think, oh, I need a break, and I automatically think, oh, what can I put in my mouth? What can I chew on, or get a cup of coffee, or, well, I only get coffee once a week, as you know, but
One of the things I have, one of my excuses, and that's another thing, we can make excuses all day long. I shouldn't, but I can, and I will, that type of thing, is simply to understand, you know, as a chef, what do you think I'm doing with a lot of my time? I'm
okay.
In the battlefield of where there's everything there to eat. On top of that, my gosh, I got to taste it to make sure it tastes right. And so I can offer myself a lot of excuses. But what I have done, which helps, is I have created what I call signature dishes that I present. And I already know what they taste like. I've already got that down. It's just like grandma used to use a pinch of this and a handful of that. So I don't have to sit and eat a half a tray of it to find out if it tastes good or not.
Right,
so part of that is once you start, it's hard to stop. It's like anything else. If it tastes good, you want more. And that, so again, the idea of offering excuses to yourself is not necessarily good. So don't eat unless you're hungry.
Yeah,
I mean,
very good. Okay, well, Steve, we're going to take a quick little commercial break here, and we'll come back and then talk more about the eating and holiday fare and losing those holiday pounds. So we've been talking with Steve Pope. He's the Heritage Chef, and we'll be right back.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America. Picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at mcmurrayhatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com. Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for joining us today. Also, we are in the process of making a commercial for our newest sponsor as of 2011, Ware Manufacturing. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, hens, and nest boxes designed specifically for the backyard flock. Ware Manufacturing offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit them online at waremfginc.com. That's Ware, W-A-R-E, M-F-G-I-N-C.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 888-824-7257. That's 888-824-7257. I assure you, you're familiar with their products, especially if you spend any time in Petco or PetSmart or Tractor Supply. So visit them online and find a retailer near you. All righty, Pat, we are back, and we are talking with the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope, and we've got about 8 minutes left. We'll need to break around 1:20, 20 after the hour, so we can get to today's Chicken Trivia Contest. Being Tuesday, every Tuesday is brought to you by eggcartons.com. And you ready for this, Pat? Today, the lucky winner of today's Chicken Trivia question is going to win not 10, not 25, not even 50, not even 75, but today's winner is going to win 100 egg cartons from eggcartons.com. In fact, they're most popular, the 3x4 vintage series egg cartons, the classic ones that everybody's having a fit over. 100 egg cartons from eggcartons.com will be the prize today. How about that, Pat?
That's amazing. Nice gift. Nice prize. Very nice prize.
Very cool. Yeah. All righty, Steve. We've got about, 20 after the hour, 7 minutes left to kind of wrap it up. So let's continue on. Great subjects today.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about also is when it comes to especially losing weight, everyone has different metabolic rates as far as how we metabolize our food. But it's been a proven fact that something as simple as walking can make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, one of the things that I have done, and I hope I don't get yelled at by some of the experts on dieting, but I literally have started the project. I've done this in the past, and I enjoy it. I reward myself by saying, all right, Steve, if you want a chicken salad sandwich or something, well, you're going to have to walk to get it. So what I do is I take my little chicken sandwich and I put it in plastic and I walk up and down the back road where I live. And when I complete that walk, I get to eat my chicken. Now, that's a little bit of reverse because you're saying, well, just a minute, you should eat the chicken and then burn off the calories. But in this case, I'm merely rewarding myself for following through and doing something as simple as walking. And you know that the psychology of that really, really works very well for me. Especially living out in the country, you know, it makes it kind of nice to get out in a way. But you know what? They have those things called sidewalks. And they serve a purpose on most streets in good old USA. And they are to walk on. So walking on the sidewalk can be just as rewarding if you want it to be as walking out in the country in the back roads or something of this nature. I say it's all good. There are a lot of things that I'm going to be putting on my website which will help some of the dieting things, since this is a little bit of a crusade for me right now. And one of them that I should have up by Wednesday or Thursday will be a chicken meatloaf. Now, we certainly understand what meatloaf is like using good old beef and ground meat and stuff, but this recipe that I have is using chicken instead, and you cut your calories down, you cut your fat tremendously, and you still get a lot of flavor of that good old meatloaf that that Grandma used to make, with just a little bit of a twist to it. It makes it kind of nice. Also, I need to mention that next month what we're going to do is something a little upscale. Let people get a little bit of French cooking behind them. And one of the best recipes that I have ever come across and have used over and over is coq au vin. And it is just a wonderful dish to use with heritage birds. And primarily coq au vin means old rooster. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, well, you know, the heritage birds are sometimes a little bit tougher, things of this nature, and it's all about the preparation, and I've learned that long time ago. And with coq au vin, this recipe is well known, it's international, it is touted as one of the best tasting recipes there is. So I'm going to present coq au vin next month, and we're going to talk a little bit about maybe the other side of dining, how you can maybe impress some of the friends and neighbors when they come over, or if you have a special event that you're wanting to really show off your talent, this recipe, I guarantee you, will open the doors of everybody applauding. So that's kind of what I'm looking for next month, and I think that's about what I have for this time, you guys. I appreciate you letting me come on again. I'm having a ball doing this.
Well, we're certainly enjoying having you on, Steve. And I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to next month's coq au vin, because there are, what do you do with all those roosters? Everyone is going to have roosters from some time to another if they're going to keep family flocks. And I had a Americana rooster earlier this year and used some of the coq au vin techniques. I marinated it for quite a while, and I know you cook it in wine, but there are different ways to prepare them so that they really come out really good instead of tough and just kind of scrawny, yucky looking. So, yeah, wonderful. Whisper, do you have any final questions for our heritage chef, Steve Pope?
No final questions, but thank you so much for coming on. I always learn so much, and I know all of our listeners do the same. And, again, it's just an awesome show, and I know everybody's going to be – it's going to be one of those shows that everybody's going to be looking forward to every single month when the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope, can come on. So thank you very much for your time today. We hope you have a wonderful month, and we'll see you in February.
All right. Thanks again.
Thanks so much, Steve. Bye-bye.
All righty, it's now time for chicken trivia. We did have a chicken trivia contest, and we decided to stick to our guns as far as the answers yesterday. And so the winner, I think, still needs to contact me. I didn't get any contact information from the winner yesterday, so they still need to contact me to win their Hen Saver Hen Apron from Crazy K Farm. That was yesterday's contest. And today's question, Love for Poultry, Christina and I were talking about yesterday's question, and lo and behold, we have one today that's kind of right down the same alley, if you will. But today's prize, like I said earlier, 100 vintage style egg cartons. They're the 3x4, not the 6x6 that you have. Two lines, two rows of six. It's the three deep, four across, the good old fashioned vintage style. You can click there on the link in the chat room. 100 printed vintage style pulp paper egg cartons from eggcartons.com. The great folks over there. Thank you very much. And so let me get over here to the switchboard. Let me go ahead and get the question. Actually, if it disappeared, if you can send that over to me again, Love for Poultry, that'll be awesome. And then I'll read it out over the airwaves. Let me get the switchboard ready for all the calls that are going to be coming in. We're going to take caller number 10. I think quite a few people will know this, and it is kind of in line with yesterday's question. So we're going to take caller number 10 at 347-637-3237. And here's the question. According to the American Standard of Perfection Waterfowl Glossary, what are the terms used to describe a female and male goose? That's what we're looking for. According to the American Standard of Perfection Waterfowl Glossary, what are the terms used to describe a female and male goose? The answer has to match our answers. Caller number 10, 347-637-3237, if you happen to know the answer or want to give it a shot. And we may even have a bonus question for you as well. If you answer this correct, we may give you a bonus question and see if you can answer that just for fun. So that is the question for today. Again, I'll read it one more time. Caller number 10, 347-637-3237. This is for 100 classic vintage style paper egg cartons from eggcartons.com. According to the American Standard of Perfection Waterfowl Glossary, what are the terms used to describe a female and male goose? That's what we're looking for. Try to withhold your answers in the chat room until we have the caller online and until we have the answers on air. So try to refrain from, even if you know them, if you know it, call in. You might win 100 egg cartons from eggcartons.com. That includes shipping as well to your address. And so try to, if you happen to know, try to refrain from putting the answer in the chat room until it's all over. And let me go over here to the switchboard. Do you know Pat?
Yeah, I think it's Gary and Glinda.
Gary and Glinda, love it.
Yeah, Larry and Glinda Goose. I'm sure that's what the male and female goose are.
I'm going to give it just a couple of more minutes for the switchboard to load up. That's what we're looking for. Caller number 10. Caller number 10. They're starting to call in now, 347-637-3237. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, no, these are very good questions. I think they're good trivia questions for the show. I mean, it sort of sharpens the edge. There ought to be a trivia question, for Chicken Whisper, a trivia question game. We could get these little flashcards.
Milton Bradley. I can just see it next Christmas.
Yeah.
The great gift for under the tree, Milton Bradley Chicken Whisperer trivia.
There you go, exactly. What you don't know about poultry could hurt you.
I love it. I love it. So yeah, I'm just going to give it a few more minutes We're tomorrow, being the first Wednesday of the month, we normally have Your Garden Show on, and they had to cancel for tomorrow. Busy first part of the year for them. They are a startup business, yourgardenshow.com. In fact, I have started my blog, my garden blog. I guess it's a garden blog is really what it is there. If you want to try to find that, you can go to yourgardenshow.com and then search for The Ideal Homestead, The Ideal Homestead, and you can see kind of the work that we're doing down there at The Ideal Homestead. And so tomorrow we'll be broadcasting live here tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, and we'll have a surprise guest for tomorrow. And then coming up this Thursday, Poultry Today with Dr. McCray. I have a great topic coming up for this Thursday, and then another great Fun Friday coming up this Friday on the 7th. On the 7th. So
it's a full week. It's a wonderful full week. Good way to start the year with this week. Yeah. Oh, there's a comment in the chat room. Oh, I love the garden show. Yeah. It's always really interesting when they do come on. I learn so much every time.
Yeah, they're great folks, and there's so many different topics that you can discuss, and from anything, vegetable gardening, water gardening, you know, the whole gamut. So, yep, definitely. Everybody loves the garden show. Everybody. Okay, let's go over here to the switchboard. We got about 5 minutes left. I'll read the question one more time for everybody. Brits and Grits. Fergus is the surprise guest tomorrow. He'll be talking to other roosters about how to woo the ladies. I love it. Yep, maybe we can have Fergus on tomorrow, Brits and Grits. How cool is that? According to the American Standard of Perfection Waterfowl Glossary, what are the terms used to describe a female and male goose? That's what we're looking at. So let me get over here to the switchboard, and we'll just go to caller number 10 right now. Let me make sure I click the right number. Can you hear me, Pat?
Yes, indeedy. You're loud and clear.
Okay, my switchboard is acting up here for a second.
Uh-oh.
It's not wanting to bring them on.
Oh, dang.
So we're going to... No, I'm just probably pushing the wrong type of button. Okay, here we go. Okay, caller number 10. We've got 3 minutes left. We're going to the phone lines right now. Lucky caller calling in, and it looks like it's working, from area code 952. Caller from 952. You're on the air with Indian Pat. State your name and where are you calling from, please?
Wahoo! Unless there's some kind of other crazy girl out there with the 952 area code, it's Michelle Brits and Grits.
Oh, Brits and Grits. Congratulations.
Well, you know what I've always been told? I've always been told what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Uh-huh.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So the goose is a girl and the gander's a boy.
Okay, very good. That's what we have here, the goose and the gander. And then the bonus question, here's the bonus question for you. You don't get anything, but it's just fun to have you. Okay.
I already have everything. I have CW on the phone. What more could I ask for? And Pat.
Love it. Okay, here's the bonus question. What is the term referring to young geese?
Ducklings.
Yes. Yes, that's it. Exactly.
And the only reason why I know any of this is because of Edgar.
Edgar?
The Canada goose we rescued last year.
Oh, Edgar.
That flew away in September. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've got a mentor. Yep.
Good for the goose, good for the gander. And, of course, Gosling, that is correct. In fact, don't they have their own TV show? Oh, no, that's Kate Gosling and Kate and Eight. I'm sorry, I'm messed up. My bad. So,
but you know what? She squawks a lot anyway.
She's got chickens, and we've reported on that before. And maybe I need to get up there and share with them how to raise backyard poultry right, so you never know. Well, congratulations. Finally got the switchboard to work. 100 egg cartons from eggcartons.com. We thank them. And just send me over via Facebook your shipping address. I'll get that over to Scott at eggcartons.com. And we thank you for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow and the rest of the week, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Talk Radio. Pat, take it away.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks to Steve Pope. He's our Heritage Chef at www.heritagechef.com for coming on and talking to us about his recipe winners, which is Ann Knowles for the Chicken Cooking Contest grand prize winner, and certainly about the portability of chickens and eggs and also about our New Year's resolution diets. Of course, Whisper, thanks to you for bringing us all together. Gosh, I hope you get your flock back just as soon as you can so the flock will truly be with you, but best of wishes with your transition down to your farm. And, of course, thanks to our chat room chickeneers and all our listeners for clucking along and celebrating poultry power. Blessings to all. We do love you all so much. And may the flock be with you. Tune in tomorrow. God bless everybody.